Now more with Frank Gaffney.
We're back, switching gears now to North Korea, a problem that is often in the news, even if at the moment it's obscured by some preoccupations here at home. Following it throughout is Bruce Klingner, one of our go-to guys on the Hermit Kingdom and more generally the Korean Peninsula. He is the Senior Research Fellow on Northeast Asia at the Heritage Foundation's Asian Studies Center for Security Policy. He is also a contributor to Heritage's Daily Signal. Prior to all of this, he has had a very distinguished career in the intelligence community, working in this space, including as the chief of the CIA's Korea branch and also as the deputy division chief for Korea for the Central Intelligence Agency. It's great to have you back, Bruce. Thank you so much for taking a few minutes to talk with us.
Well, thanks for inviting me back.
There is a report that you have been asked to come talk to the North Koreans about all of this, but talk to us, if you would, about, first of all, how you would characterize the state of affairs at the moment. Are we in an extremely dangerous situation? Are we in a situation that is headed that way or something else?
Well, we really always are in a very bad situation with North Korea. As people on the peninsula will tell you, we're always on the knife edge of a crisis, and that there's always the danger that a tactical situation can become strategic in the blink of an eye. And yet, on the other hand, we've sort of muddled through without a major conflagration, even though such has been predicted for years. So I think really, though, more tense in the last 6 months or so, and a number of reasons for that. One is North Korea's growing nuclear and missile capability. They've made a number of breakthroughs in the last 6 months or last year. And I've found over the years a tendency by many to downplay or dismiss North Korea's ability to achieve certain objectives, and then people are surprised when they do exactly that. So we've seen breakthroughs in a submarine-launched ballistic missile, which exposes South Korea's flanks to a nuclear attack, two different intermediate-range missiles, which could reach Guam, a key base for the U.S. defense of the Pacific, including Korea, and then, of course, the ICBM, which has gotten the most attention in the U.S. because they've had two successful tests indicating that it does have a range of hitting at least a large portion of the continental U.S., and then finally, an H-bomb test, much, much larger than the Hiroshima and Nagasaki-type bombs that they've exploded in the past.
So the threat is clearly intensifying. The rhetoric has been as well. You've been critical of some of the back and forth between President Trump and Kim Jong-un. In its stead, we've had the Secretary of State off to China, working apparently back channels with the North Koreans. The president has signaled his displeasure with that, or at least has suggested that's a waste of time. What do you make of it, Bruce Klingner?
It's a bit confusing. I think this past week we've seen conflicting signals. Whether it's part of a strategy or not is a bit unclear. We had H.R. McMaster, the National Security Advisor, saying we don't have any contact with North Korea, followed, I believe, by a day later, Tillerson saying we have three different channels of dialogue, but unspecified what those were. And then the president coming back to say, don't waste your time, Rex. We'll do what needs to be done, which, whether that meant pressure, and I think the administration has been increasing pressure on North Korea lately, or whether it sort of resurrects the suggestion that the U.S. is considering a preventative attack, a military strike, even if we don't feel we are in imminent danger. But, a bit of conflicting signals. Some would say it's, as I said, sort of a good cop, bad cop, designed to induce pressure on North Korea as well as China. Or is it a bit of conflicting signals? And I think it fits the trend we've had since inauguration of very divergent signals coming from the administration, which certainly is confused and concerned our allies. And, if those of us in Washington who follow this every day are confused, you can only imagine, people overseas trying to discern a pattern from a distance.
Well, let me ask you, you have been closely following developments across the portfolio, not just in the military sphere, I know. When you look at what's going on at the moment, the intensifying economic sanctions, particularly those that are now finally, I think, it seems to me, helpfully squeezing the communist Chinese, as well as the rhetoric, as well as the back-channel negotiations or at least conversations. And to some extent, it seems some ramping up of the military planning, at least, by General Mattis and his team. Do you think that the right sorts of steps are being taken, with the possible exception of this rhetorical exchange, Bruce Klingner, or is there something else that we should be doing that we're not? And if there is something, should it be in the diplomatic arena, given some pretty hard experience with the North Koreans? Notably, I'm thinking of the deals struck by the Clinton and Bush administrations with these guys, only to find that there was no there.
Right. I think really the components are there, but it's just they may not be being applied as effectively as they could. I've long been an advocate for more fully enforcing U.S. law and U.N. resolutions, and so that the sanctions or targeted financial measures, they have a number of objectives. It's to enforce our laws and U.N. resolutions. It's to impose a penalty on those that violate them. You know, if they're to mean anything, you have to defend them by enforcing them. It also puts in place measures to make it harder for North Korea to import and export things that they need for their prohibited programs. And then finally, you're hoping with all the other instruments of national power to change North Korea's calculus and, you know, get them to abide by all this. So, you know, I think the pressure, we're finally gaining momentum on that. And I think a lot of it has been pressure from Congress to try to get the executive branch to use the authorities it already has. I welcome the recent executive order by the Trump administration. But the question would be, as with all the other laws that the Treasury Department and other departments didn't fully enforce, will it be enforced? Will Treasury be more likely to impose measures against what's even legitimate legal trade with North Korea than they have been in pursuing those that were violating U.S. law? So I think also the announcements by China that their banks and businesses will stop doing business with North Korea, that's very encouraging. It's potentially significant, but it needs enforcement to move it from potential to significant.
As ever, that's the rub. Lastly, Bruce Klingner, do you think there is any actual prospect that we will avoid potentially disastrous conflict here, short of a change in the regime in North Korea? And is it your judgment that that's something that is becoming increasingly seen as necessary by the Chinese as well?
You know, we've always worried about sort of stumbling into a conflict. And so, you know, if we're aware of it, we can try to take steps to avoid it, but while still enforcing laws and resolutions. So, you know, I'm not worried that crazy Kim Jong-un is going to wake up some morning in a lunatic state, launch a war. You know, he's not crazy. He's a brutal, terrible dictator. But neither he nor his father were crazy in that they would just launch a war. I'm more concerned, as I have been for a long time, of either escalation or miscalculation. Escalation, where you have a tactical level clash, which just sort of tit for tat escalates up to a larger conflict, or miscalculation. And the thing is, as North Korea develops and demonstrates and brags about its nuclear capability, it may lead the U.S. to feel it has to lean further forward during a crisis if we detect some signs of military movement that we think might be nuclear related. And also South Korea has pointed out to North Korea that they have their own ability to decapitate leadership, as they've said, and they would launch it on signs that North Korea is about to do something. And it's based on intelligence, which is, you know, sometimes faulty. And North Korea said, well, we'll preempt your preemption. If we think you are about to preempt us, we will do so to you. So you have three militaries, close proximity, things can happen. And you also have, with whether it's the rising rhetoric or the rising North Korean capabilities, you know, a greater potential, I think, that you could either have to feel you need to do a preemptive attack or sort of stumble into that situation.
Well, grist for the mill, and obviously a full employment program for you, Bruce Klingner at the Heritage Foundation. We appreciate your work there, and you're joining us from time to time to discuss it with us. I hope you'll come back to us very soon, and that in the meantime, cool heads will prevail in this very difficult and dangerous environment. Folks, next up we'll talk with Kevin Freeman about another potential issue with China, a conspiracy against the dollar. That and more straight ahead.
Go to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.